amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it has already been just being in the Lord's house. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge and that you would sense the presence of God when you come through the doors of this church. And I trust that that has been the case for you today and you've been ministered to already. But now we have an opportunity to look into the precious holy word of God. And so if you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 20, the very last chapter in the book of Matthew. We're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 20. Ought to be a very familiar passage of scriptures to most believers. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 down to verse 20. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the word of God together this morning. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church today, and what a blessing it's already been. But now, God, as we open up your precious word and we look into this passage of Scripture, I just pray that you would give each one that insight into what you have for them today. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. The month of June is Faith Promise Missions Awareness Month. And again, as you see the banner over the baptistry there, and all through this month, we're going to be looking to encourage you by bringing missionaries and having them report on what's taking place around the world, and also in just trying to help you to better understand Faith Promise Missions. The Way of Life Encyclopedia of the Bible gives a definition of missions. Is the work of the church in and to the world. The work of the church, the true church, the church that Jesus Christ established, the work of the church in and to the world, the proclamation of the gospel and church planting. So a good definition and understanding of missions. The work of the church in and to the world, the proclamation of the gospel and church planting. Can I tell you, we have faith promise because of missions. And we have missions because of the Great Commission, which we've just read in Matthew chapter 28. It's all about people, all humanity. All humanity, or if you will, as John writes, for God so loved the world. Amen. That's all humanity. It's all about people being saved, baptized, and discipled. You see, some 2,000 years ago, the world was where God wanted it to be. It was where God wanted it to be for the world to receive the full revelation of God's plan for all humanity. Do you understand that? It's very important that we understand this. 2,000 years ago, around 2,000 years ago, the world was where God wanted it to be for him to send his only begotten son. To receive the full revelation, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the fulfillment of what God had given up to that point. of God's plan for all humanity till the end of the world. So the first thing that we understand that took place some 2,000 years ago, which put all this in motion, was the coming of Jesus Christ. The birth of the only begotten, virgin-born Son of God. And Galatians in chapter 4 reveals something to us here that helps us to understand this. And if you're going to understand faith, promise, missions, you have to understand that we have faith promise because of missions, and we have missions because of the Great Commission. In Galatians in chapter 4, in verses 4 down to verse 6, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, from Adam to some 2,000 years ago, the fullness of time had come. God sent forth His Son. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself being manifested in the flesh. Made of a woman. Made under the law." That's all we had at that time, is the law. That was all the revelation that God had given to humanity, to the world, until this time. To redeem them that were under the law, which was the entire world, looking first of all to Jews, the Jews, but for Gentiles alike, the whole world, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now we start understanding a little more the revelation, the plan of God for humanity, that all human beings, every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability can be, have this opportunity to become a child of God's. Adopted into the very family of the Creator God. And because you are sons, once this happens, God has sent forth the Spirit, another insight as to what was to be the full revelation of God that had not been revealed up to this time. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, and He dwells within you, and this is what He's going to be crying and making you aware of: Abba, Father. Matthew chapter 4. I want you to turn back there with me. Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to establish this. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. So now we know that Jesus came. It was in the fullness of time. God, humanity, the world, was where God wanted it to be to receive a full revelation of God's plan that would take place and that would continue to the end of the world. Where we're at today is where God wants us to be with the revelation that God has given to us, and it will. There's no more revelation of God. There's no new revelation. We have it. We have been given it some 2,000 years ago, and this is a full revelation of God that will take us through the end of the world. And so we look here in Matthew in chapter 4, when Jesus came, and for many would understand when He started His public ministry, in chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach as an example, as a beginning of things, to preach and to say, repent. He's saying, world, you have to change your understanding, you have to change your belief, you have to change how you're living your life. And so He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. Jesus came and He preached that man would need to repent and look to the kingdom of heaven, which would represent the New Testament plan, which would represent heaven coming to earth and revealing the very will of God, the will of God in heaven and in earth. So God, now Jesus Christ, is presenting the will of God, the kingdom of heaven, the New Testament plan, what He would reveal. Jesus came to bring the full revelation of God to humanity, because some 2,000 years ago, it was time. Humanity and the world was where God wanted it to be, for Him to send His Son. And as He came, He had the message to the world that they needed to repent and focus on what Jesus Christ himself would be presenting to them as concerning the will and the plan of God for all humanity until the end of the world. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's exciting to me. I trust that it's exciting to you. Amen. So we find here that Jesus Christ came. He ushered in this New Testament church age. He brought to us the full revelation of God, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and the full revelation for humanity to understand what God wanted humanity to understand until the end of time. And so as he came preaching repentance and revealing that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, what he did in his lifetime on this earth is he established his church. What he was doing is presenting the truth and establishing his church as a vehicle to accomplish his plan. Matthew chapter 16. Follow with me here. Amen. Everybody should be excited about this. This is what the Bible teaches us. That's why we have a Faith Promise Missions Month. That's why we give to missions. That's why we have a desire to take the Word of God into all the world. And we have a desire to support missionaries. Because we can't each and everyone go into the world ourselves. We can do our part. But there's certain things that we cannot, places we cannot go and things we cannot do. But we can partner with missionaries that are being called by God and sent through the church to accomplish what God has to be accomplished in this church age. So Jesus came revealing the New Testament church age, revealing the full revelation, the plan of God for all humanity. And in doing that, he established his church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, Jesus says to his disciples, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter," the faith that Peter had that Jesus was the Christ. Upon that, he says, "I will build my church." Whose church is it? It's not the deacon's church. It's not the pastor's church. It's not the denomination's church. It's not religion. It is Jesus Christ. It's the church that he established. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." He's going to give to the church because the church is the vehicle in which he would establish to carry out his plan. And because of that, he says, "I will give the church here the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So he says, "I'm going to establish my church to represent me. And it will have my power. It will have my authority." Wow. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's something every born-again believer needs to understand. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, we find the qualifications, positions that will be in the church. In chapter 3, the deacons, the pastor and the deacons, the qualifications. If you don't meet those qualifications, you should never look to serve in those positions. Because it's qualifications that God has established for his church. But this is what I want you to see. After that, verse 15 and 16, he says this. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Do you understand? He's putting the emphasis on his church. It's a house of God, which is a family of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar. Outside the pillar, the structure will not stand. The pillar and ground of the truth, outside the pillar of the church, outside the truth that Jesus Christ gives, there is no other truth. It's a pillar and the ground of truth. And we need to base what we believe on the Bible, on the truth that the church that God has established as a vehicle to carry out his plan presents. And he says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." That's Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, Jesus was not any ordinary man. He was not just a prophet. He was not just a good person. He was the very Son of God. He was God manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Yeah. That all took place some 2,000 years ago, as per God's plan. Jesus came. Jesus established his church. And then Jesus gave, after he paid man's sin debt on Calvary's cross, after he resurrected, as he said, he met with the disciples, he met with the apostles, and gave his plan, or commission for missions. That's what we read in Matthew, our text. Our text, go back there with me. Matthew chapter 28. He gave his plan. Before he would ascend, the book of Acts reveals that he met with them for 40 days. And he instructed them for 40 days on his plan for his church throughout the New Testament church age. It had everything to do with what we just read in our text. Missions. The Bible says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore." Understanding that therefore meant understanding who Jesus Christ was and is. Understanding what God's purpose in sending his son was. Understand what God's plan in the full revelation that God has revealed to humanity through him. Because of this, understand, therefore, understanding all this, we are to go. We are to go because we have been sent. If you're saved here this morning, if you are a member of his church has his doctrine. And if you're a member of his church, the church that has his doctrine, you have been given marching orders. You have been commanded by the commander-in-chief to go. Now, I'm told that it's a direct order, and in combat, a soldier could be shot if they would disobey a direct order. Wow. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to shoot you. But if you won't obey, as a church, is it possible to have his blessings? Because the church is made up of individual born-again believers that have been planted in that church as the Holy Spirit plants them in the church to make up that body. And everyone has a function in the church, and all of us together make up a complete body. And as the church, with the membership making up the church, then he has been given the church as being the vehicle as to carry out his plan, meaning that it's the church, but it's the members of the church. And we have been giving our marching orders. We have been commanded to go. How in the world can you expect for God to empower the church if the church is disobeying a direct order? And today we have so many religious gatherings playing church that have not the power of God, that have not the commission of God, because they have turned away from the purpose that God established the church for. And we have to make sure that we do not forget the mission that we have been given. We have faith promised missions because of the commission that God has given. We're to go. Not only are we to go, the Bible says, as we go, the main purpose in going, praise the Lord for helping people. Praise the Lord for offering food. Praise the Lord for giving water. I think all those things are good. But that's not the main purpose of going. Because if you feed them today, they'll be hungry tomorrow. If you give them water today, they'll be thirsty tomorrow. And before you know it, you have come to some point where you cannot sustain people forever. So what they need is to look to the one who can sustain them forever. And look to the purpose in which we were sent. And that is to teach them God's plan of salvation. We're to present God's plan for salvation. And for people to be saved, they must hear. Sad to me that many are in church their whole lives and never hear a clear presentation of God's plan for salvation. So many churches want to use the church to control the people. And so you have to look to the church. You have to be faithful to the church. Listen, but that's not why God established the church. God established the church to serve Him, to represent Him. Romans in chapter 10, look there with me. We are to go, and as we go, we are to present God's plan of salvation. Romans in chapter 10. Outside of hearing the clear presentation of the gospel, a person cannot be saved. Now they can hear it through reading a tract. They can hear it through over the radio. They can hear it by coming to church. They can hear it by individual soul winning, somebody knocking on their door. But they have to hear. That's what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God has made it so simple that even a child of the age of accountability with an understanding of what sin is can be saved. It's not what you've done. There was a great price paid, but it's not the price that you paid. It's offered to you as a free gift, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as you understand it, all you have to do is believe and receive. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But it goes on and says this in verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Do you see how this is playing, how this is all revealing itself to us? The church, Jesus established the church as a vehicle that he would be able to send the gospel through. And we are to send out our members, and we are to send out our missionaries, and we are to send out as many people as we can into all the world. To do what? To give a clear presentation of God's plan. The revelation that Jesus Christ brought, God's plan for salvation. Wow. God's plan. Not only are we supposed to go and take with us the very plan of God for salvation after we led them to Christ, we are to lead them to the church, where they can be baptized. And that's what it says, right? Great Commission, go back with me. This is what Jesus established. "Go ye therefore and teach." First of all, the most important thing for anyone to understand is what God says a person must do in order to have eternal life. Not what the church says. Not what somebody else tells you, but what God Almighty has said. If you're basing your salvation on anything other than what God Almighty has said, you're lost on your way to the devil's hell. You can't get saved through the church. Church has never saved anybody. You can't get saved through your own good works. There's none righteous, no, not one. You're not good. You can never be good enough. You're not going to get saved any other way than God's plan. Jesus paid the price that you owed and couldn't pay. He paid it for you. All you have to do is appreciate it. All you have to do is acknowledge it. And all you have to do is, once you've believed it, receive it. Yeah. And once you got saved, you see, that's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of a whole new life. Because the Bible says when you first get saved, you become as babes in Christ. When you were born physically, physical birth gives you an opportunity to live a physical life. And you will live that physical life until you die physically. But when you got saved, the Bible says you were born again. Nicodemus didn't quite understand. He said, do I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, that's impossible. That's not what I'm saying. That which is born in the flesh, that physical birth is flesh, physical. But that which is spirit, born of the spirit shall, that which is spirit is spiritual. When you receive Jesus Christ, you are born of the spirit and you have an opportunity to live a spiritual life, a new nature. A nature after the image of Jesus Christ, following in his footsteps. You can't live. Too often we try to disciple lost people. You can't disciple a lost person. You got to get them saved. Because they've not been born again. They can't understand. They don't have the indwelling of the Spirit. But that which is born of the Spirit then becomes spirit. And you have an opportunity to live a spiritual life. And there is joy and peace and a whole lot of other blessings associated with living a spiritual life. Sad to say, so many are not living a spiritual life. Even though you have opportunity, you might be saved. So the first thing that God wants us to do once you get them saved is to take them to the church where they can be baptized, because Jesus established a church with two ordinances that only the church, his church, can carry out. Jesus established his church and gave his church the power to baptize believers. And he gave the church the authority to give communion. Outside the local New Testament church, you will not have either one of them biblically. You cannot have biblical communion, nor can you have biblical baptism outside of the local New Testament church that Jesus Christ established. If you don't have one on the field, do as our missionaries do. They start one. They birth a New Testament church. And so when they get converts, they can bring the converts back to this new birth, New Testament church. And then where they're in the New Testament church, they can baptize with the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's the New Testament church plan. That's what Jesus brought to us some 2,000 years ago. And it's still the plan that God has for us today. Yeah. Baptized, which when it's done biblically, reveals the Trinity of God. It reveals God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because it's important for us to understand the Trinity of God. And be baptized to publicly identify with Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Wow. It didn't stop there. It doesn't stop with salvation. It doesn't stop with baptism. You might find yourself saved and baptized this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Very few have found that compared to the population on planet Earth. Most are going through a more wide gate, more wide direction. But God said, this is the straight and narrow. This is the plan I have. Very few find that. If you found that, praise the Lord for it. You ought to be excited to know that I'm saved and been baptized. Yeah. But it's not over. Because the final thing that we have been instructed to do, teaching them, getting back to presenting the truths that God's established, teaching them to observe. This is your lifestyle. This is what God's expectations of your life is, to observe all things whatsoever I, Jesus Christ, have commanded you. Which takes us back to this Bible right here. Knowing what he taught. How do you know for sure it's what God taught? Well, he wrote it down and preserved it for us. You don't have to go by my telling you what you ought to do. Don't put your faith and trust in a man. Don't put your faith and trust in any preacher. Don't put your faith and trust in a church. Don't put your faith and trust in anyone other than Jesus Christ. And we find that when he came, he brought to us the full revelation of God. And through time, he had it written down. By the end of the apostolic age, the entire fulfillment, full revelation of the Word of God was completed. And for some 2,000 years, he has preserved it. And as far as I'm concerned, in 1776, what he preserved to bring to the United States of America, to the English-speaking people, was his King James Bible. Amen. And it's still, every word of it is his word to us. It's exactly what we are to live by. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. How can we live by it if we don't have it? He could not command us to do something that we could not do. His part is preserving it for us. Our part is to look to it and know that it's God's word for us. And live by it. And he said, teach them. Disciple them. It's what we're doing here today. It's what we did at 10 o'clock if you were not here. That's what we'll be doing tonight at 6 o'clock. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching, we'll be doing it again Wednesday night. And I've told people, we're not going to do away with services. As we get closer to the end times, we might have to add a second midweek service. So much the more. Why? Because we need the truth. We need this pillar of the ground and truth is Jesus Christ, the word that he has established for us. It's a pillar in the ground of truth. Wow. Church, teach it. That's what he says. And never forget this as we close. It's his plan. And because it's his plan, he says, and lo, I want you to be aware of this, I'm with you always. For how long? Well, I know he's been with us for at least 2,000 years. But he says, even unto the end of the world. It might only be another day or two till the rapture takes place. Or it might be another 10 years. The thing of it is, I'm confident he'll continue to be with us. It's his plan. He will be with us to carry it out to the end. And so, this month of June, let's just be reminded of why it is that we have faith, promise, missions. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Simple message this morning, but a powerful truth that we have to be made aware of. Maybe this morning there's somebody here and you say, preacher, if my eyes were to close in death, I am not 100% sure that heaven would be my home. Then you need to come today and let somebody share with you what God says a person must do to have eternal life, and you can have that. It's a free gift. You can receive it at any time. And once you get saved, we'll look forward to baptizing you and then helping you to understand all the rest and disciple you after Christ. That's what it's about. It's what we've been doing for some 2,000 years as his church. And we'll continue to do it till the end of the world. God's speaking to you this morning. An invitation time is an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. If God spoke to you, His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, pricking your heart, revealing to you something, you need to respond to it. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Pray right now, God, that you would strengthen each one to respond as you would have them to. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.